Turn in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The title of my sermon tonight is Faith for Family Crisis. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Now, this is the story of the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, and how Christ cast out that demon and healed her. But in our passage tonight, verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." This is the only time that Christ left the region of Israel. And folks, when you meet Christ and Christ comes to you, you need to do something. You need to do something. And as behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Tonight we need to understand faith's great importance. Without faith, we cannot do anything for God. We must have faith in God. For with God, all things are possible. Faith is absolutely necessary because faith in Christ saves the soul. We know that, "For by grace are you saved through faith." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, he writes, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." If you are basing eternity on something other than faith in Christ alone, you're missing the boat and you're going the wrong way. Faith is absolutely essential in Christ to save the soul. Faith brings answers to prayers. In James chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if any have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." We know that if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that takes faith. Faith drives away anxiety. As we've been studying the book of John, in John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled," or "be anxious," or "be bothered. Ye believe," which is faith. You have faith in God, believe also in me. Faith pleases God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If these verses don't work in our life, we're in trouble. We're in grave danger. These verses must work in our lives. But faith's greatest test is when a loved one is afflicted. And we see that in this case with this woman who has a daughter that is in great, great need of deliverance. You know, this is not the first time that this has happened. Jairus, who had a daughter who was deathly ill, the ruler of the synagogue, came and approached Christ and said, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is near death. Come and heal me." In Matthew chapter 17, when Christ is on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Peter, James, and John. And there's a man that has a demon-possessed son, and they call a lunatic. He's out of his mind, and he throws himself into the fire. And he basically brought him to the disciples, and the disciples were powerless to do it because they didn't have what? Faith. And in Matthew 17, verse 15, he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. Oh, when we see someone in our family that's needing God, we cry out to God, or we should cry out to God, have mercy in this situation. Have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, sore possessed, sore oppressed. For oft time he falleth into the fire and off into the water. So we see faith's greatest test here. And we need to understand that when a loved one's afflicted, we need to cry out to God. When we have issues in our family, we need to cry out to God. So in verse 22 tonight, we see four things in this passage. The first one is we see the dilemma of a mother. The Gentile's mother's problem was clear in this passage. It was basically that she was grievously vexed with a devil. This word for vexed with a devil is a single word, and it means demon possessed. Mark actually says that she had an unclean spirit. But before we go on, I want to talk about this for a second. How did that happen to this daughter? She's a Canaanite. And I want to tell you something right now. If you don't know Christ, things happen to you. And if you expose yourself to the power of Satan, you'll get possessed. And for us in our families, we need to understand that what we allow in our families can have a very negative impact on us. A Christian cannot be demon possessed, but he can be demon oppressed. And we allow things into our families that affect our kids, and then we wonder, why are they turning out that way? It's sad to say, my kid is an alcoholic. I don't understand how that happened, but they drink. My kid is a drug addict, but there's drugs allowed, and there's nothing said that is against it. My kid is immorality, but I don't stand up for the truth for this. This woman had a demon-possessed daughter, and the issue is that there was an environment for that to happen. And folks, in today's world, that environment is pervasive. And this demon-possessed daughter created a desperate situation that was beyond her. Oftentimes, we allow problems to get so big that they're too great to solve, and we throw up our hands in hopelessness, and we throw up our hands in despair. It says here that she was grievously vexed. She was grievously vexed. It's just like the lunatic son does things that are out of character. We know that all these demon-possessed people in the Bible did evil things and horrific things and gnashed and cried out and jumped on people because the destroyer is inside them. And basically, the Gentile's mother's problem was it was a demon-possessed daughter. It was a desperate situation that was beyond her. So the first question I have tonight, are we allowing things in our life for Satan to get a foothold? Ephesians say, neither give place to the devil. Parents, are you protecting your kids from ungodliness and unholiness? You are God's authority in your family. You need to do that and keep evil away. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about that the kids are sanctified by a believer in the house. And so the big thing is, don't give place to the devil. Make no provision for the flesh that you fulfill the lust thereof. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But then the second question is, how long do we endure something before we start crying out for help? Often we cry, I can handle this. We can handle this. We can handle this as a private matter. And the situation gets worse and worse and worse. And then it gets to a position that only God can fix it. Well, God can fix anything. But we need to let him have it, a crack at it first, not last. So we see here in verse 22 the Gentile mother's problem. And then we also see the Gentile mother's prayer. You know, I find it interesting that the illustrations about effective prayer don't come from the religious people of the day. It comes from the heathen. There's the publican. There's this woman. There's all these people that pray. And he tells his disciples with the lunatic son, he says, this one only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. And so this Gentile mother's prayer basically has several points in this. First of all, she accepted her undeserving state. Her cry out to God was, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter. We are all in dire need of God's mercy. We don't deserve it. And she accepted this undeserving state when she came and approached God. In Luke chapter 18, there's another example of the other people, a publican. And it says here in Luke 18, verse 13, it says, and the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Folks, we need to come to God on God's terms. We need to understand that we need his mercy. He's the source of all mercy. We need to understand that if we want mercy, we need to be merciful too. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Receive mercy. We need to understand that God doesn't want to be plan B. He wants to be plan A and the only plan in our lives. And so she accepted her undeserving state, and she cries out for mercy. The second thing is that she accepted the deity of Christ. I find it interesting, and it makes the verse that John writes, he came into his own, and his own received him not. The demons and demon-possessed people cried out, thou art the Son of God. We see Gentiles crying out, thou art the Son of God. Calling God, Christ, the proper name. He says, O Lord, thou Son of David, you're the Messiah. You're the deliverer. I'm so thankful that you're up here right now, out of your nation, to help. Help me. Help me. She acknowledged that he could deliver her daughter. You know, there's a lot of times that God doesn't work in our life because we just don't ask. We just don't ask. And then we wonder why things don't get better. And then another way that things don't get better is we ask, but we don't believe that it can happen. And we say, we just don't understand. We pray and nothing happens. The Bible says that we're supposed to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. So we see the dilemma of the mother here, the Gentile's mother's problem, and the Gentile's mother's prayer. But then there was a delay in the Lord's answer. This is faith under fire. You know, if you always got what you wanted when you asked for it, you wouldn't know how to do without. You wouldn't know how to get through the dark time. You wouldn't have your faith increased here. She cried out for help, and the Lord was silent. He was her only hope. It says here, verse 28, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, said, send her away, for she crieth after us. This is not a private matter, this is a public matter, a very public matter. In Psalm 102, verses 1 and 2, it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. You know, for that prayer to be answered, you need to be on right terms with God. First of all, you need to understand He is God. And it's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You need to understand that we have to be in right relationship with Him because He's not going to bless the wicked. We need to understand that we need to be cleansed so we can stand pure, justified before God. You know, sometimes our prayer life is like this. We have a critical need. Might be in our family, might be at our work, might be somewhere else. We pray one prayer and that's it. We pray one prayer. And say, okay, that's it. Answer it. Done. I've done that. Folks, we need to pray with persevering. Question tonight. Has God seemed silent when you've prayed recently? There's a lot of soul searching tonight. We need to soul search our lives and see if there's things being allowed in our lives that breaks fellowship and causes oppression to come in. We need to see if it does the same thing in our families. We need to make sure that we're in right standing with God. And if God is silent, then we need to understand why. This desperate woman kept on crying for help. The disciples got annoyed. She keeps on crying after us. Folks, that's the way we ought to be. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art watching, do not pass me by. Oh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, pray without ceasing. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the first part is he's going to talk about the parable of the unjust judge. And it basically says, and he said, the point was is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Our prayer life needs to be more than what it's over a meal. Our prayer life needs to be on something, the request, until we get an answer. And we see that result. And then we can testify that God is great. And that all is well. That all is well. And it's because He lives. And we call His name Wonderful. Wonderful. We need to cry out for our children, folks. When we were at prayer meeting this month, we prayed for the kids' ministry. And we need to pray for our kids. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19 says, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children. that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Folks, is there a hunger for the Word of God in your family, in your house? That's the hunger that needs to be satisfied. But we need to pray for our kids. So we see the dilemma that the mom had. We see the delay in the Lord's answer. And then we see the disgust of the disciples. Send her away. Now, tonight I'm going to propose three reasons why the disciples got annoyed. Two of them are due to pride. The first one is, you know, sometimes we may be bothered by those who have more faith than we do. And we get upset because why does God answer their prayer and not mine? I'm better. Folks, when we get to that, we're no better than the Pharisees. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He will exalt us in due time. And if we look around and say, well, God's blessing them and not me, and we have a little pity party for ourselves, you need to start praying to get right with God. Secondly, we may be annoyed by those who are more persistent in prayer than we are. You know, we are in an instant society. We want things now. But in Luke 9:18, God talks about prayer. He talks about the widow said, "Revenge me of my adversary." And the judge, everywhere, every tree that he walked beside, she'd jump out. "Avenge me of my adversary." Every corner of the street, "Avenge me of my adversary." Everywhere that judge turned, "Avenge me of that." And just, "I will." Because you're persistent. Folks, that's what we need to do with prayer. We need to pray without ceasing and not to faint. You know, we allow things to come in to our lives because our prayer life is not as effective as we think it is. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if we have powerlessness in prayer, it's not God's problem. It might be ours. So send her away. We may be bothered by those who have more faith than we do. You know, we don't like to be showed up. We may be annoyed by those who are more persistent in prayer than we are. Thirdly, we may have more of the world in us than we think. Just a couple of chapters later, Christ is walking down the road. There's crowds. He's on the road to Jericho. And in Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying," wait a second, this is exactly the same thing that the Canaanite woman said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." But you know something? It says here, look at verse 31, "And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Maybe the disciples were there and they said, "Hey, we just want to listen to God." We need to be careful. We need to be careful of letting the world into our lives. Because that could lead to divisions and dissensions and things that are not right in the church. And it will quench the Holy Spirit and it will quench revival. So we see the disgust of the disciples, but lastly, we see the dimensions of the woman's faith. She was a Gentile, a woman of Canaan, but you know something? God created her too. And we need to understand she recognized Jesus as the Messiah. She called him Lord. Folks, there's a lot of people today in the world that don't recognize him as the Messiah. And there's a lot of people that call him Lord but don't do the things that he says. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, it says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. The only way that you can have peace in these situations is through God. For he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. You know, Christ came to all, for God so loved the world that whosoever, it doesn't matter on your color of your skin, it doesn't matter on how much money you make, it doesn't matter where you grew up, it doesn't matter how your parents went to church or not, it doesn't matter about that all. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. We all need Christ, and we need him in our lives fully. Amen. We need him in our lives fully. She was a Gentile woman of Canaan, but that didn't stop. She believed that Jesus was more powerful than the devil. You might get the answer in a day. You might get the answer in a week. You might get the answer in a month. You might get the answer in a year. My mom prayed for my dad for 20 years before he got saved. And it delivered him from alcoholism. It delivered him from all sorts of bad things. And it brought peace. But she kept on praying. She kept on praying. And I'm here because of that too. She believed that Jesus was more powerful than the devil, but oftentimes we see problems. We say, oh, I'll either handle it. That means that you don't want God to handle it. Or you may think that God will do it your way. God will handle it. God's more powerful. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. She believed that Jesus was more powerful than the devil. She was able to see beyond the seeming rejection. When he didn't answer her the first time, what did she do? She kept on crying out. She understood Jesus better than the disciples did. And that's the interesting thing. She took the humble place. She came and she fell at his feet and she said, have mercy on me. And every time she said, just have mercy. And then she came and worshiped him in verse 25, saying, Lord, help me. This is after Christ said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he was there. And so she makes the statement about it's not good, you know. Christ said here, verse 26, he answered, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. You know, a lot of times we come to God and we don't believe what he says is truth. He says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She understood Jesus better than the disciples, and she took the humble place. God resisted the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Her faith in Christ demanded that she keep on praying and crying out to God until either Jesus left or she got the answer. And she kept on doing that. The Lord answered this woman's prayer. What did he say? He says here in verse 28, he says, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her great faith led to his commendation. Do we have that type of faith? It says later on, it says when Christ comes back, will we find faith on the earth? Her daughter was released from the demon's power that very hour. It says so right here. And she was made whole from that very hour. This morning we went through Christ's life, and that was wonderful. And we use Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me too, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound." This miracle took place immediately. See, faith that's tested under fire will be stronger the next test. And if all we do is we have the little easy things, we never can actually apply faith in our life. We need to trust God, and we need to pray fervently and persistently and believe that God will answer our prayer. Let's meet with him tonight. Let's surrender our lives to him tonight. If you don't know Christ, get saved tonight. Don't leave here the same way you came in. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, help your Holy Spirit to have full reign. Father, show us things that we're letting into our lives that need to be removed. Show us things that we're allowing to enter our families that need to be taken away. Lord, help us to increase our faith that when we pray, we believe that you'll do it according to your will, and we will accept that. Help us to take a humble position at your feet and not try to do things our way first, but to give all things to you first. Lord, search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be people for you, worthy of your calling and faithful servants. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.